Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm Charlie Smith from Fairbanks. I'm a member of the Alaska Air Carriers Board of Directors, and I work with Tanana Air Service, Utana Air Service, and Alaska Flyers. I'd like to agree with the information that Reed Stoops, Bob Engelbrecht, Richard Stern, Jack Birmingham have all put out today. And I agree with the amendment that that Reed and Representative Foster have offered. I think that, even though this sounds as if it is a tremendously complicated matter, it is not. 135 air carriers are licensed by the federal government, the Federal Aviation Administration, and in most cases, the Department of Transportation, to do one thing, and that is to carry people from one point to the other. Case, we have some companies which are apparently abusive, if you will, when it comes to hunting. Tanana Air, for instance, has had one inquiry this year from any hunter anywhere, wanting to know where could he put in and take out on a seven-day float and possibly knock down a moose. I'll be darned if I want to put our company through $250 of expense and try to recapture that $250 off a $1,200 bottom line or gross for this one hunt. But if I don't, I'm going to be in violation of the bill as it's written now once it becomes law. I could be, if I elect not to become a transporter, and I do pick up somebody at a state airport and intend to return to Fairbanks and have to use Bradley Sky Ranch 10 miles away from Fairbanks International as an alternate, then I am suddenly and without any forethinking on my part in violation of this thing. Again, I think it's an extremely simple matter. Tanana Air Service, Utana Air Service, they're two companies that offer point-to-point air charters. They pick people up at A, deliver them to B, they charge them $200 per flight hour, and that's that. It doesn't matter whether I'm taking people to a wedding or to a funeral, whether I'm taking them to hunt or to fish. I almost never land on a gravel bar. And if I did, it would be extremely incidental to our business. Air charters are only 13% of Tanana Air's business, air charters of any kind. And of those, perhaps 0.1% have anything to do with hunting. And I am so strongly opposed to the idea of having to get into compliance in the event that that 100 does sign up with us. I think that we should go with this amendment. You're transported only if you go from field, only if you do not go from state or federal field to field. And if you do advertise, and particularly if you take a much greater amount of money than the simple $200, in our case, point-to-point charter fee, then yes, you should be required to be a transporter. And I thank you for your time, and like Richard, I'd like to also see what the amendments are, and I'd be more than willing, once they're nailed down, to come back and testify again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Charlie. Is there anyone else along the teleconference network that wants to testify at this time?
Somebody
said
something?
Yes.
Go ahead, state your name, and give your testimony, please, who you're representing.
Hey, is that for Kodiak, Representative Menard?
Yes, it is. Who's ever on there? Thanks, man. Thanks, Pat.
Representative Bernard, this is Dick Ward in Kodiak, Master Guide Operator, concerned about a word on page 6, line 6, where it addresses procedures for wording guide operator use areas. The word new, this section seems to allow for a possible discrimination against those of us who have been in business. I'd like to see that word be deleted or be changed to say that no guide operator would be unfairly disadvantaged. And then just a concern about the severability clause that's on the back page, wondering what the necessity of that is.
Okay. Okay, thank you. We have, I'll have to notify that we're going to have to get off the teleconference network here in a couple minutes. I am planning on holding this bill over. We will be bringing it up before House Resources Committee tomorrow. Representative Davis.
Yeah, you had a question about the severability clause?
Yes, I did.
Well, the reason for that is because of the fact that this law could be challenged, so that the court could rule that a portion of the law could be unconstitutional and the remaining portion of it would be constitutional. So that's what the severability clause, and, you know, according to my understanding, is why it's in the bill.
And my concern is that this bill needs to stay together as a whole, and if a part of it is thrown out, then the federal agencies will have to take over, or we'll have to come up with something else. That's my concern. I'd prefer it not be there.
Well, we'll note your, I think we're, I didn't talk to the attorney, but I think it's probably in there on the advice of our attorneys, but thanks for your comments, and I'll ask that the next time the attorneys move on in the conversation.
George, do you have a comment on that?
George, we have the bill drafter here. Perhaps he wants to comment on that.
Mr. Chair, the severability clause is in the bill at this time at the request of the task force. It was explained to the task force at the time the bill was put together that a severability clause is not necessary because a severability clause is already included generally in Alaska statutes, and that a severability is applied in any case in which a statute is found to be unconstitutional. But the task force was really insistent on having a severability clause here to make it absolutely clear to the courts that they intended that if part of this law was to be found to be unconstitutional, that the remaining parts of the bill be implemented. If it is the intent of the legislature that this bill stand as a unit or fail as a unit, it would be necessary for the legislature to insert a provision to that effect into the bill.
Thank you very much, George. Then at this time, we will have to go off the teleconference network. I will tell folks on the network that we will be bringing the bill up tomorrow. Staff, are we on teleconference tomorrow?
We can certainly get on teleconference.
We will be on teleconference tomorrow. Representative Foster has one closing
short
question statement.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just on principle, I know most air taxi operators several years ago, here in the last 10 years especially because of the growing alcoholism throughout the villages in rural Alaska, requests have been made upon the air taxis, even demands that they check baggage and boxes of luggage, open them up looking for booze. But these are clearly unconstitutional. An air taxi operator isn't going to go open somebody's attache case without his permission. And yet these were demands expected by local police authorities and the troopers on air carriers in rural Alaska. And here now we have in this instance, air carriers are being required to report meat coming in on the airplanes. And I think the next step will be DNR demanding that pilots report minerals that are being carried by passengers, or maybe fish and tomcod being carried through fish and game. Reports by the pilots. I see there's no end to this type of bureaucracy. And on principle, I'd like to make that statement.
Then we have that on the record. With that, the House Resources Committee is adjourned at 5:05.